Talk and No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we are on vacation, as you know. We've been on vacation, who knows for how long now. Just depends on when you're hearing this. That's not for me to know.
It is funny to be like, we're on vacation as we enter our fourth hour of podcasting in the last 48. And I'm working harder than I've worked in my whole life, but yes.
I'm like, God, I wish I were on vacation right now. Not really because of the podcasting. I'm just quite groggy.
Again, I will say that I've on this podcast said we should just disappear and never be heard of again. And my two co-hosts were like, We love to work.
I don't wish I were on vacation because I don't enjoy talking to my friends. I wish I were on vacation because I accidentally took the devil's nap today, and it is because my body is trying to destroy itself, and I still feel bad about it. I literally feel like I am in another reality. Like, I wish I were in a cave, and I were about to hibernate like a bear for the entire winter. I don't feel right in my mind.
Think you should tell the doctor that tomorrow.
I'm like, going to say
that.
In
those exact words. Can you say, like, I just wish that I was a bear?
Yeah, for
a
sure.
A bear would love hives.
That's funny, Anne.
Thank you so much.
Anne. That is a damn good joke.
Wordplay.
Wow. Wow, that really took me out. Okay. Great work, Ann. We're off to a cracking start. We're on vacation. We'll be back at the end of November. We'll be back to check in about those full gear results. God, I hope the card's shaping up good. Yeah. I hope it's looking really good.
They already announced some matches for it, and it's, you know,
did they?
October 27th, Hangman and Jay on Collision.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not a surprise, but yeah.
Well, that's fun. I guess there's going to be a build for it.
I guess. You would hope. Who knows?
It's weird to do it at two pay-per-views in a row, but...
It is a little weird, yeah.
Maybe they're, like, taking it as, like, a challenge. They're like, the girls thought we could do better, and we can't.
I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like thinking about our listeners right now. Like, I hope something so... Like, they're yelling at us, and they're just being like, it's the most sexual erotic storyline AEW has done in years. Like, girls, you don't even know. I hope so. I hope it is. I hope you guys are having fun, and... We're just here to record a little bit of bonus content for you. We can't comment on the wrestling that's happening right now. We may not even have watched it. Who knows what we've done? I hope I'm at the beach right now as you listen to this. I hope I'm in the ocean. And I hope I never come out.
Yeah.
I hope I'm there forever.
I hope I just walk into the ocean and I'm never seen
never
again.
Come back out.
You both will be in coastal locations.
We will.
Yeah.
In between my 12-hour horrible shifts, I will be at the infinity pool. So that's something. And possibly the beach. Yeah.
You must imagine us in water. And Leah, will you be in any water on your vacation?
No, I will be in a hole.
Oh, that's so fun.
Wow. A nice little cozy hole.
Are you going to pull old dry leaves on you? Yeah. I'm going to dig
a
little gopher hole and I'm going to go in. And then I'll come back out for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow. Just like a little groundhog. Wrong holiday. Groundhogs don't have anything to do with Thanksgiving.
The classic Thanksgiving groundhog.
Little known fact, the groundhog isn't involved in Thanksgiving at all.
I wish every animal had kind of a themed holiday, you know?
God, yeah. Well, there are quite a few of them. So there's the bunny rabbit for Easter.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess the eagle is kind of for 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
Not really, but I think we can make it work. Turkey for Thanksgiving. What do you think the Christmas animal is? Dove.
Ooh, Christmas. Dove.
There's not really a good... Do you think it's weird that Santa is a person? And not
reindeer.
Like a
reindeer.
Reindeer. Shit.
Reindeer.
Reindeer.
Nice. God damn
it.
Yeah.
It is a little weird. And actually, that one columnist like proposed that we should have like a Santa penguin instead of like a Santa person. And that's the one that made Megyn Kelly be like, Santa is white. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy context? I never knew that was what set her off. And it's just like, Megyn Kelly, what is your problem? Santa's fictional, Megyn Kelly.
Not to get political on this podcast, but you hear stuff from the conservative sphere sometimes, and it's just like, you have too much time on your hands. Like, yeah. Just get a hobby or something. Why on earth are you even thinking about this?
My favorite thing that they do is when they list things that they think liberals are doing, and it's so much cooler than anything liberals are doing. They're staying up till 2 a.m. and hanging out with drag queens. And
God, I wish. Yeah.
Just going right, to our, like, stupid jobs.
We're tucked into bed watching Hulu and drinking a little sip of weed seltzer and passing out and, you know, waking up groggy. It's not fun, but it's honest work. So anyway, we can't speak to the wrestling. We're just going to play a little game for you here today. One or two games. We'll see what happens. We're going to start with a classic dating game. We haven't really gotten to play this on the pod in quite a while. Now that we, I don't know what's happened. I guess that we're just better at following the storylines, to be honest. So we talk about them more.
It's true. I feel like it was much more often that we would be like, and I don't have anything else to say. Let's pad this out. Let's pad this out with the game. And it's like,
and now we're like actually barely keeping it under 2 hours. Oh yeah. No games.
We're going to,
imagine now keeping it to a half an hour.
No, 15 minute we were going to keep these bonus episodes to a half an hour, I think.
Girls, we've, won't shut up.
Yeah, maybe we've gotten too good at yapping. Like, maybe we need to make a resolution to just be worse at talking. Talk less.
Do you think if we went another 4 years, we would hit the point where we could, like, match Dave Meltzer and do, like, a show 3 times a week?
I don't think that we should allow that to happen. I think that's a cautionary tale. Like, we need to look at Vitamin Dave and just be like, a little goes a long way. A little improves your quality of life. Of course, he is a really good for mental health vitamin, but you can overdose on any vitamin.
So true.
I wonder if at a certain point we'll circle back. Like, we'll understand wrestling so well that we'll just start shorthanding stuff more and just be like, oh, and of course this is X, nothing more to say.
Didn't Marty and Sarah do that at the end too, where they were like, they would come in, they'd be like, yeah, we watched wrestling last night. I liked that guy's shirt. Anyways, what groceries did we buy this week?
Honestly, I loved that. I love that period of the pod. Sometimes you would leave and you'd be like, did we talk about wrestling? I don't know. I love hanging out with my friends. I had a great time with my friends today.
When O&R is just like 2 hours on women's basketball. And
it is really nice to, like, love, like, to feel like you're friends with podcasters and love their podcast so much that sometimes you just, like, come to in the middle of, you know, like, listening to something about Caitlin Clark and you're just like, what's happening to me right now? what do I technically listen to this for? Yeah, wrestling. Well, whatever. I love to learn. Okay, well, we're gonna play the dating game. Should I just start with what I do? I actually have two here, which probably are interesting.
Allie started by saying the spreadsheet is horny, so I'm excited.
I opened the spreadsheet and the randomizer had already locked onto Jungle Boy and Kenny Omega, which is, I mean, that is like the spreadsheet is like being like, tell me a nasty story, girls.
For me, like, when I try to picture them, I just think of the end of Grease where JB's like, you need to shape up, you up, up. And Kenny's on his knees, like, drooling.
Oh, my God. That's right, actually. You know, I would not mind if JB got into that, like, leather cat suit look with some heels even. And she had permed her hair for that. Yeah. And he just has the natural curls. He's shaking hair. Them out of his face. And he puts his foot on Kenny's chest. And Kenny would lick the shoe.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
ooh, cause I need a man. You know, when Kenny comes back and finds that JB's the one standing between the Young Bucks, I mean.
Wow.
Wow. Could be some tension.
Honestly, it's like, did the Young Bucks fire Kenny? Yes. So would it make sense for Kenny to come back and fight for the right to stand between them? No. But do I still want to see it? Yes.
Yeah, no, obviously. Like, I would love a custody of the Young Bucks match.
Yeah. And for Kenny to be mad at JB, even though really the Bucks are the one that fired him, you know?
I the Bucks would be so smug about it.
Yeah.
No,
you can't hold the Bucks accountable is the greatest thing you've ever said. Somebody needs to, what do you call it when you take it out of context?
Clip
you
it.
You know, no. Where they
aggregate it.
Aggregate it. Someone needs to aggregate just that quote. Like we're saying it seriously. Like that's the tone of the podcast. You can't make the Young Bucks take accountability. Oh my God, I just got dizzy. That nap really fucked me up.
Man. Wow. I thought it was saying something mean about the Young Bucks in a serious tone that made you dizzy.
You're like, oh, I just got sick with betrayal.
Brain rejected.
That was Matt Jackson sent me a bad brainwave about that. Well, if Kenny and JB were going to go on a date, what would the date be and how do you think it would happen? It could be in this scenario. I mean, Kenny might decide to do some kind of like rage seduction.
Rage seduction. He's like, okay, and the best way to get back in with the Bucks is I'm going to seduce Jungle Boy and then I am going to use that to push him out and get in.
That is the plan he would explain on BTE. Absolutely. He would be like, okay, Brandon, here's what I'm going to do. I can see it.
He's like, I'll get JB to trust me. I'll give him the best night of his life. Brandon looks so, he's just like, excuse me, what? I don't think you should be saying this to me. I'm going to give him the best night of his life, like at Chili's. Mm. And then I'm going to turn on him. He'll never see it coming. What movie am I thinking of? Oh, I think it was that recent one. Did you guys watch the, never mind. No, okay, let's move on. I realized how impossible, how many pieces I was missing. What I was going to describe.
You're like, they'll never get it. Let's move on.
I'm trying to become more aware of the times when it's more gap than fact, and perhaps it's not a good use of time to work through it. Do you think they go to an arcade or something? What do you think Kenny wants to do on a date?
I'd be cute in an arcade.
What I would like to see is if Kenny's executing a seduction plan, so he takes JB on what he thinks a date is. He's like, you dress up for a date. So he weirdly shows up in like a full tux and like,
yes.
Love it.
And
love
his
it.
Hair is like weirdly combed. And JB's like, what is happening here? And then he's like, well,
JB was probably not clear that it was a date when he got asked out. He was like, Kenny asked him if he wanted to go to the arcade. And he was like, sure. And then Kenny shows up with like flowers and the tux with the hair. And JB's like, what?
The mental image of Kenny having brushed his curly hair back slick up against his scalp is sending me into the stratosphere. Okay, so Kenny shows up looking bewildering, looking like the alien from outer space that he is, complimentary.
Yeah. And he's like, I know that you take a date to a restaurant. And so he takes Kenny to Chili's, I mean, JB to Chili's. But again, he is wearing a tux.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that we stand out at Chili's. Like,
what is happening here?
JB's so embarrassed. He's just red in the face the whole time.
Oh yeah, JB's like, he's like, JB, we've got to give JB a motivation here, like a how to lose a guy in 10 days thing, where they're their motivations are playing against each other.
Well, maybe JB. Maybe JB wants to use Kenny in some way also related to his position at AEW, the Elite.
He wants to get information out of Kenny, so he's like, I'll use this time to get him talking.
What information does he want? I guess I'm like, anything that he wants to know about the Young Bucks. Now, though, I am just imagining him being like, oh, they treat me like such a baby. They don't tell me the secrets that they used to tell Kenny and Adam Cole. But, like, I'll get them out of Kenny. I don't really think that's right. I think he wants to leverage Kenny in some way. Yeah. Like, for like he wants to set up some kind of a match or, like, I don't know, something. He has some grand plan to, like, betray the Bucks, and he's going to use Kenny in it, something. God only knows. But you're right. It should be, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, where they're working at cross purposes. Mm-hmm. And it is very funny to think about JB being on a date with Kenny in a tux with his hair slicked back, having brought, like, he's wearing a full corsage, and they're at a Chili's. It's so embarrassing. And JB is like he's like a California veggie boy. He doesn't even want to eat anything at Chili's. And he's just pretending to be like, that's so funny, Kenny. Yeah. I love that. Tell me more about what you've been getting up to in your time off. How are your intestines feeling?
How are your intestines feeling? JB is also an alien on a date. He's like, it's just polite to ask after someone's intestines. So,
God, I wish I could see it. This is a great date.
I'm picturing, like, Kenny finishes explaining and then feels like politeness where he was like, and you, how are your intestines?
And JB is so invested in this going well because of his plotting that he's like, oh, my intestines, they're great, normal, you know?
The no people complaints. At the next table keep looking up.
JB's probably wearing, like, athletic shorts. Like, he's not dressed similarly to Kenny at all. He's, like, the opposite direction.
Oh, my God. I do think they end up sleeping together, honestly.
They're kind of playing chicken, and neither of them backs down, so.
They spend, like, 15 minutes in the parking lot both trying to open the door for the other one. And you know what the hell of it is? It's, like, the Young Bucks have already, like, they wanted to do their pose with a man in the middle back at the hotel. So they were looking for JB. They couldn't find him. They were like, well, we did fire Kenny, but we'll look for him too. They didn't find him. Kenny and JB are at Chili's. They're just like, well, whatever. We'll get a new man. Whatever. Like, fuck this.
By the time JB and Kenny come back, they found a new man to stand in the center. They
found a completely new man. They've moved on.
I do feel like maybe JB and Kenny, like, fall in love long term, you know? Like, they both just keep, like, I guess it's just the two of us now, and they form a tag team, and then
maybe they form a faction with Hangman and Okada, where it's like, we're the Bucks,
nice. The men in the middle.
Oh, the men, wow. In the middle.
That's
middle
a
men.
Beautiful faction.
The I'm tucking to the man in the middle. This is our best idea ever, maybe.
I think the middleman genuinely would be a hit. I think they would pop the demo.
This is not
nothing. Line go up.
Man, there should be, again, it should be have been a BTE sketch that's just like a support group for the men in the middle. It's like, raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by the Young Bucks.
You thought you were special to them, but you were just another man to slot in the middle.
They think we're all exactly the same. Oh, man.
I wish I knew more about their indies days, because it would be fun to, like, cast somebody who was that person one time. It was like, they called me once, and then I called, like, by the time I tried to call them the next day, they changed their number, you know?
I actually did also just think, since we can just, like, get all of our faves involved, I'm like, God, can you imagine if they're roaming the hotel, they're like, we just need a man to do the pose, like, you know, and then, you know, we can get you into the faction, and they just run across Dustin, and Dustin somehow gets roped into being the new man in the middle for the Elite. Can you imagine how unhappy
he would be? Oh, I don't want this. I don't
see this for me.
Isn't it so crazy that he and Kenny were tag team partners? It's, like, so hard to envision.
Was it the men of moral?
Low moral fiber. Mm-hmm. Wow. He's like, I've seen up close what a mess this is. I really don't see it for myself. And they're just like, we just need a warm body. Okay, like, just.
Once you've got the middleman faction, it's got to be so hard to recruit men to stand in between you.
Well, I'm picturing them, they go backstage and they're like, hey, does anyone have like time tonight? Would they like, you know, second us for a match? Maybe stand in the middle of our pose. And like, there's like a huge ungodly crash as like Danny Garcia, Top Flight, and Private Party all try to volunteer at one time, but they get all tangled up and they end up like injured, and they get, like, none of them end up volunteering, and that's how Dustin ends up chosen. And he's like,
literally, oh. they collapse into a pile of limbs in front of Dustin, who's just like holding a plate full of rigatoni, looking around like, what is going on here? And they're just like, yeah, that's good. You're tall. That's good. You'll do. Get over here, buddy. He's just in his little crew uniform. He's like, I'm actually not cleared. They're like, you're not going to be wrestling. You won't be doing anything but making us look good, buddy.
Honestly, get on out there. That's sort of Dustin's, like, ideal job. Like,
yeah.
He's a great second. I mean, he loves it when he gets brought out there to the side of the ring.
If the Young Bucks put him in an outfit, he'd be like, this is the best day ever.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. If they gave him an Okada robe or something.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be buying all three of them, like, so many matching tracksuits, and the Young Bucks would be this is really our vibe. But
okay, I would kill for that. Like, they buy him a robe, and he decides to return the favor and, like, buys them, like, onesies, and they're like, no.
He buys them Hawaiian shirts with his face on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, through this, back at the hotel, JB and Kenny inching perilously closer to kissing because neither of them will call the whole thing off.
They're both, like, puckered up, like...
They're just constantly doing, like, Lady and the Tramp stuff, like, sort of by accident, but sort of on purpose. It's been 5 years. They're still together.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. Okay, well, let's leave that aside. I feel like we'll be coming back to that in time. I don't see this being the last of that. Imagine, but let's turn our attention to I've got Pac and Malakai Black.
Well, neither of them talk really.
I can't imagine who is initiating this date.
Yeah, who asked who?
Who asked who on a date here? I guess actually maybe. Malakai was just trying to ask, like, where the water cooler is, but it came out so weird that Pac was like, I think he asked me out. I think that's what he was. Malakai said, like, something so, like.
Yeah. Where is, I'm desiring the home of where the liquid sustenance resides. But Pac heard it, and he's like, he's asking me to take him home to my
water.
My habitat? I couldn't think of the right word. Habitat. And so Pac is like, oh, he wants me to take him to the ocean where I live. And so
I'm going to take him to the world of Atlantis on the bottom of the ocean floor.
It's like a reverse Little Mermaid.
And Pac is actually, like, really touched. She's like, no one has ever asked for that before. Wow, like, I thought I had friends here even, but they've never expressed any interest in my underwater world.
And then he takes Malakai there, and he doesn't know that Malakai can't live under the sea, and so he just drowns him.
Well,
and
I guess Pac's
like, oh no, another one.
The other alternative is that he does realize that Malakai is drowning, and he gives him mouth to mouth, and they do mouth to mouth for a long time.
Now, Allie, do you find that an erotic thing that you just said? Because if so, I'd like you to jot that down on your list of symptoms for the doctor tomorrow.
You know, anything unusual is erotic to a degree.
Okay, aggregate that.
If my response is, wait, what? Usually there's an element of interest. Like, it could go either way, but I'm open to the idea that it will go
that way. So you do want to see Pac and Malakai making out at the bottom of the ocean.
You're looking at it saying, I hope this awakens something in me.
There's an Antonia Nelson story that I love where, you know, she says anything could happen and it could be good. That's how I approach stuff like this. I say, yeah, well, show it to me. And of course, I want to see it and then I'll assess.
Mm. Yeah, couldn't hurt, you know. any wrestlers that want to kiss in front of us, like, it's worth taking a look at.
Please, pee my guest. Or give each other mouth-to-mouth, non-sexual mouth-to-mouth, that just happens to look like sloppy makeouts at the bottom of the ocean floor. I don't see it working out in the long term, but I could see it going on for longer than it should, just because Pac doesn't really understand what Malachi's communicating most of the time, and he's looking for a friend, you know? Mm. I mean, I guess he technically has the BCC now, but I'm not sure they're fulfilling his emotional needs.
No, I can't really see that group having, you know, like, deep conversations or even shallow conversations about their lives, really.
I don't think their hopes, their dreams. They just kick. They just kick and punch and fight.
Yeah.
So sick. Okay. Well, who else we got here? Okay. I've got Kyle Fletcher and Swerve Strickland.
Huh. Not sure what to grab onto there.
I know. It's promising, and yet
is not it promising. Weird that, like, they might, like, have, like, a pretty normal, good first date? Like,
yeah.
Do you think that, like, if Swerve and Kyle ever started to talk about, like, their lives, they might end up being compatible? Who knows?
Yeah. I could see it.
I feel like they would be able to, especially with Kyle on his thing of, like, I've been living in other people's shadows. Nobody appreciates me. Like, I think they'd be able to have, like, a shocking heart-to-heart about that. Like, the kind of, you know, you accidentally get into a really good conversation with someone at the bar at 1 a.m. and, like, are you ever going to see them again? No. And are you going to go home with them? No. But, like, do you kind of bare your soul to them? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that.
And maybe, like, Swerve could ask some questions, like, Why do you think you felt like you had to shave your hair in the middle of the ring? Where do you think that was coming from?
Kyle can snap back. Why'd you threaten a baby?
Touché. I'll drink to that. They both get really in touch for one night with, like, wow, it's really complicated to be a person. You know, you do things you're not proud of, but maybe you're happy with where they take you, but you can always change tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day.
They just do, like, a full before sunrise thing, wander around all night talking, burying their hearts to each other.
And then the day ends when they turn a corner and Don Callis snaps, Kyle, I've been looking for you all night. They never see each other
again. You stayed out past curfew. You're grounded.
And Swerve's like, you have a curfew, man?
You're an adult man.
Like the imagine that I now have of Don Callis rents, like, a suite for the Callis family, and they all bunk up in the suite. It's Lance Archer is in there, Brian Cage is in there, Kyle is in there, Takesh is in there. These are the largest men on earth.
He assembles bunk beds for them, like, at every new hotel. Like, he just builds, like, 10 of them.
Yeah, and they're not long enough for their enormously long bodies.
And Brian Cage is in a top bunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watching him climb up there, it looks pretty risky the whole time. It's like, it's top heavy.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And I honestly, now I'm kind of imagining him tucking them all in, like the little orphans in Madeline. And he reads them a little story and he says, I'm turning the lights off. Does anybody need a glass of water before bed? So did everyone brush their teeth? But Kyle missed it because he was out there having this transformative, you know, experience that will cause him to, over the years, reevaluate much of what he thought he understood about his life.
Can I say something kind of insane?
I think you better.
I think Swerve and Kyle Fletcher would do a really good job in a remake of Speed.
Oh, my goodness. Well, who are you seeing in which role?
Yeah.
Kyle Fletcher as Sandra Bullock and Swerve as Keanu.
Wow.
I think they would do really good.
It's not a no.
No, it's certainly not a no. Speed is an underrated. I mean, I guess it is rated well, but don't you kind of feel like people aren't talking about it as much as they should be?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's so much hornier than I anticipated
it
being.
It's crazy horny.
Like, they have some chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'll watch it if they want to film it. If they'll film it, I'll definitely watch it. It's not a no from me. Okay. I've got Tony Schiavone and John Moxley.
Huh. I didn't know Shivani was in there.
I did not know that either.
But I think this list originally came from my favorite website, Wikipedia's list of AEW personnel, which I guess Tony is on.
I have, like, added and fixed and replaced a lot of things over the years, but it is very funny that Tony is in there as a face. I like that that has been made clear.
I mean...
Was that? Okay, let me hit you with something.
Yeah, go for it.
You might say, like, how do they end up on a date at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tony Schiavone's just trying to do his job. He is just trying to interview Mox for a segment. Mox is like, just follow along. I'll talk while we'll do a walk and talk, a Sorkin style. Tony Schiavone thoughtlessly, because he's kind of stressed out by the whole situation, thoughtlessly clambers into the back of the pickup truck with Mox, thinking it's just a space to sit down and finally ask some questions. Mm. And Claudio starts driving. And he keeps being like, oh, God, no, we're filming the show. We have to go back. Like, and Mox is like, no, we're driving to Denver. We're not on tonight. We're driving to Denver for the next show. And it's kind of like a I'll be home for Christmas, you know, road style comedy of errors situation. Now, you might say, is that a date? It will be. Somehow it will be. I don't know. Is that anything?
I like it. Yeah. I like that Claudia's there on their date, and possibly the rest of the BCC.
Yeah, everybody's there. Marina, Yuta, everybody's there. Truck. They're actually group dating Tony now.
I'm trying to think how you can introduce a sensual element. Maybe Tony is getting car sick and he's scared because he's in the back of a pickup truck.
I mean,
on the
I think he'd be very scared being in the back of. He's like, this isn't safe. Like, this we're not belted safe. In. No. Like,
he's getting kind of green. Maybe he pukes off the edge of the truck or something. Mm. And Mox, shockingly nice. He's not like very gentle about it, but he pats Shivani's back and he's just like, "You're doing great. You're doing great, bud."
The rest of the group is like, why did you kidnap Tony Schiavone? And Mox is like, just like the look of him.
He's like,
and for me, I picture like, you know, this is all happening while Dynamite's on the air, right? So like throughout the show, Excalibur's giving updates where he's like, and our correspondent, Tony Schiavone, has been kidnapped by the BCC and the rest of the faces are agitating. But then when it cuts to Tony, Tony's kind of like starting to relax against the pickup truck, like starting to get a little loose. And he says, so where'd you guys grow up?
Tony's sitting closer and closer to Mox, you know, their legs touch.
And he feels just, like, safe in the lee of Mox's body. You know, it's like, this is such a dangerous situation. And Mox is a dangerous man, but suddenly Mox has become the space of safety for him.
Mm. And maybe Tony's like, this is so dangerous, like, I could fly out of the truck. And Mox is like, here, like, I'll sit, like, between you and the end of the truck, like, to protect you. Yeah. And then every time they slow down a little bit, like, he kind of bumps into Mox, you know, but Mox is very steady and
Wow. Am I sold on it? Oh my goodness. I mean, the way, like, at the other end when they get out of the truck in Denver, Tony Schiavone's like unsteady on his feet a little bit, but like is it from the trip or from the feelings that he's having all of
us? Yeah. And then they're in Denver, but the next show isn't for a week, right? So, like, spend a week in Denver with John Moxley.
One week in Denver with John Moxley. A week is long enough to fall in love.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. What a fun surprise it would be to go from, we got, like, the beginning of this interview on Dynamite 1 week, and we're like, the viewers, like, oh my god, Tony Schiavone got murdered. They killed him. They kidnapped him and killed him. But next week in Denver, he's blushing. He's like, it's like Excalibur's being like, wow, it's crazy. What happened to you this week, Tony Schiavone? And he's just like, a lady is fine.
Yeah. Well, I think we should maybe hear these guys out about their plan for AEW.
You know, some in a world of uncertainty and danger, like, maybe they're the rock AEW needs.
Now I feel like they should be doing a storyline between an announcer and a faction where they,
oh my God,
they fall in love, but it's like all very just like Tony Schiavone is being awfully nice to the BCC on commentary, saying, well, I think they had a reason for doing that, so let's not jump to condemn it.
Oh my gosh, that would be so good. Wow, I'm obsessed with that, I think. Okay, should we do like one or two more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seem good? Okay. We have got... Nick Jackson and Christian Cage.
Actually, well, well, well.
This is the setup that we had for a, we were doing a game where we were choosing like three random names for something. So actually we've got Kyle O'Reilly on the end there too, if that helps with your imagine. You can mix and match those however you like.
It's like Nick and Christian with help from Kyle O'Reilly.
The assist.
Wow. Well, I do feel like Christian could seduce anyone probably, you know, if he really set his mind to it. Yeah.
It is, wow, it's really hard to know where to start, but I guess with Christian, you do have to identify, first of all, that I believe Kyle and Nick both have living fathers.
I don't know about Kyle's father, but Papa Buck definitely is alive.
He has been attacked on TV before, sure so has. He's open to the idea of dying for the art of wrestling.
I think he's been attacked by both Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley, so yeah. He's really had it rough.
The aces of AEW.
Yeah.
Do you think that, now Nick is an EVP, even though we haven't seen him exercise much power recently, do you think that Christian could try to seduce Nick as part of a larger plan to kind of patriarchize the entire promotion?
Yeah, so like Christian's like, if I marry Nick, then I get control of AEW. Although you would think he would go for Tony Khan in that.
Well, maybe Tony Khan is like, he's kind of hip to the issue. Like, he's got bodyguards, you know? He's I guess Nick has a bodyguard, Matt, but Matt really fell down on the job. Question mark.
We have to come up with, like, you know, Matt's distracted because this is happening to Matt, but like.
Maybe that's where Kyle comes in.
Oh, that's where Kyle comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle has created some problem.
Is Kyle seducing Matt?
the Christian. I feel like Matt, like, Kyle would. Kyle could not in 1 billion years, because Matt would be like, Kyle, I'm going to fucking kill you.
I think it's so much more likely that Kyle wouldn't lead with seduction. Kyle would, like, I don't know, like, somehow destroy something backstage that causes... Actually, I did just think, I'm like, well, the simplest thing for Kyle to do... I don't know why Kyle would be doing this for Christian. Maybe he's just getting money for it, but... the simplest thing for him to do would be to get him and Matt just locked in a room together. And, you know, like, there's no handle on the door, no way to get out of there.
Yeah, they're trapped in the walk-in freezer.
It would be so funny to have, like, a day in the life where Matt is trapped in a room with Kyle O'Reilly, who isn't trying to seduce him. He's just driving Matt out of his fucking mind. And he finally gets out of that situation and goes to his brother for some sympathy. Like, you would not fucking believe what's been going on with me all day. And gets met with, Christian, try to seduce me. Christian's trying to make love to me.
Don't you think it's a little better if he's already succeeded? Like, to me, like, Matt walks out of the freezer and is like, Nick, this
Nick's
horrible thing happened.
Hands with Christian.
And Nick says, oh, Matt, look, and shows off his hand where he has, like, a huge ring. And he's like, Christian and I got married. Do you think this is a normal game? Do you think this is fine?
What is a normal game, you know? I think that the most important thing is that we have fun. It's just that we have fun, you know? What else could you ask from us?
Matt would like that. Yeah, that would be Matt's
oh my God, no.
Matt's
bad
having
day.
A really bad day. Yeah.
That's like his 13th reason for sure. He's like he's having like a screaming tantrum where it's like on the one, like the one concern is like you just let Christian Cage seduce you in the space of a day, marry you, none of your family is there, he's going to kill our father, and he signed over your EVP rights to him. That's one thing. I was stuck in a room with Kyle all day, and now nobody even cares. Nobody even cares that I have the most annoying day of all time.
My favorite thing about this also is as you were listing that, I was like, Nick doesn't even have access to an entire EVP. Like, Christian just has it's only got half a EVP. Vote. Yeah.
That's the twist at the end of this, is that we find out that actually all this time that we've been acting like the Young Bucks have one EVP vote as a joke, no, it's real. They are considered one legal entity in the eyes of AEW, and Christian can't do anything with his newfound power without Matt getting on board.
Should have seduced Kenny Omega, but...
Kenny was out. Kenny's still doing his thing with JP.
Yeah, he couldn't find him anywhere.
And actually, that would be quite funny because Christian and JB have all that history. So it would be a thing where it's like Christian does try to get to Kenny, and then it's just like foiled. The boy who I turned on now has foiled me.
Mm. Wow. Christian's not having a great time either. You know, it's like he's lost his real husband, Copeland. He couldn't get to Kenny because JB foiled him, and Nick's worthless, you know, it turns out.
Yes. I just think it would be so funny for Christian to be having it now, having a meltdown, being like, this has all been for naught. And Nick is like not even upset that it was that was all. He's just like looks so placid. He's like, wow, things change fast.
But at least we found our love for each other.
Oh, I think that's a pretty good date, guys. That's good work. Let's see if we can end on a good one. I'm kind of I'm cheating a little and I'm skipping some.
Get us
that
really
I don't want to be good as one. Good. Like getting a real bad run here, I'll tell you that. I got another Christian. Well, now actually no, there might be something to unpack here. This is another threefer, okay? So you gotta figure out what to do with all these men. It's Christian again. It's Darby Allin and it's Billy Gunn. So it's kind of a double daddy.
Dad situation.
Double daddy situation.
Sure. Double daddy situation. Do you think Darby's ready for two daddies?
I don't think Darby's even ready for one daddy.
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think. There's no reason for Christian. Well, there's not really been any reason for him to seduce any of the boys he's seduced, actually. It's just for pleasure mostly. I think,
you know, Darby's lost Sting, right?
Yeah.
Christian's lost Copeland.
Oh my God, your dad is dead is Sting. That's amazing.
Oh my God. Yes, okay, you're right.
You know, so they both got a hole ready to be filled.
Ian. Ian, please. Okay, Christian hits Darby with that. He's just got a little radar, like, who's lost a dad? Okay, so he's working his way through the list, and he gets Darby on there because he's like, well, your wrestling dad isn't wrestling anymore. That's death to wrestlers. So you are dadless. He approaches Darby with this, you know, like he's like, just realized you don't have a dad. He's dead. Darby hits him with, Sting's not my dad. He's my best friend.
Christian's like, do you want a new best friend who's also older? Kind of a wrestling legend of a type.
I don't know how Billy Gunn is involved here. I don't know if he is. Although I am interested in a world where Billy Gunn, I guess in a bid for more TV time, is like, I can be people's dads. I'm a dad. I can be dad too. And so anyone that Christian is going after, Billy Gunn is going after too. Just a little competition.
Well, yeah, he's walking around being like, I can be your dad. I can be anyone's dad. Meanwhile, like the guns are like, but not not us though.
Can you be our dad? lot to unpack in therapy this month. Lot to get into. Oh man. Okay. Well, I think that's a good game.
Yeah.
Does that seem like enough?
Great work, everybody.
I definitely think.
Yeah,
that was
fun. I think so. Yeah.
Oh, good.
All right. I think this was all worth it just for the middlemen.
Oh yeah. My god, I'm obsessed with the middlemen. Wow. If they don't do it, it'll be a waste. It'll be a waste.
Yeah, that's solid gold right there.
Oh, man. I kept clicking. We can't get into this whole thing, but I think it is quite rich, this suggestion of Chris Jericho and Bryan Danielson. Two men who could not be more alike, more different in their approaches to the world.
Have they ever had a match?
I have no idea.
Surely they have, but I can't.
Maybe at WWE?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Anything could happen over there. Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else you guys want to say before we wander off into the wilderness again?
No. Happy vacation, everyone. Hope November's going great in wrestling.
I hope you guys are having so, listeners at home. I hope you're having so much fun. I hope it's the best build that we've had in years, and you are, every week is a feast for the senses and for the imagination, and you feel like the fields are fertile again after many fallow years, and you can't wait for us to come back and plant our seeds there. I hope that's exactly what's happening. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod. Via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have merch now. You can find that at chop-tees.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a ton of other great podcasts. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we're discussing this kind of thing and more. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, and come back the next time there is an episode, which will happen at some point in the future. We'll be back. See ya. Love ya. Bye.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.